Welcome back for the last time this season, season two of Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. We are covering our rankings episode of House of the Dragon today. Last week, we went into a really great compare and contrast of the corresponding sections of Fire and Blood, the novel, with season one, House of the Dragon, on screen, and kind of went over the key differences there. Today, we are closing out the House of the Dragon season one coverage with our fan favorite rankings episode. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We really enjoy bringing these kind of episodes to you. Before we jump in and get started, I'll turn the floor over to Chase to say a few words.
Season two finale, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Fuck yeah. Once again, thank you to you guys. Y'all been ride or die with us since season one all through this season. Got a badass episode today planned. Always one of our favorites. We know it's y'all's favorites too. You got the rankings, which is full circle moment for us because we know all the way back on season one, our first episode was rankings. Now we're ending season two with rankings. Let's make it happen, baby. Let's go. I'll turn it back over to Jay Nelly.
For sure. Let's raise our glasses one last time for season two, Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy, and the very last closeout of season one, House of the Dragon, with the rankings here today. Cheers, man. It's been a great one.
Cheers, brother. Malice in the chalice. Off to the pit of misery, baby. Let's make it happen.
Perfect. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and jump into our rankings. Today, we are going to start our rankings with ranked order of our episodes from 10 to 1. We're going to start at 10 from our quote-unquote least favorite to number one, our most favorite. I say quote-unquote least favorite because there was no really bad episode in House of the Dragon, so it's not like we're ranking it because it was absolute shit. We're ranking it this low because there were other episodes that were better, and we're doing a rising list from there. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Chase to give us his 10th ranked episode in House of the Dragon Season 1. What'd you put for number 10, brother?
Number 10. It wasn't a bad episode. It was just a little bit slower. I put episode 7, the Driftmark episode. You know, you had Lena's funeral. I thought that was really cool, though. I really loved the customs there. It was badass kind of seeing Aemon claim Vhagar, but at the same time, you know, you had Aegon was like dousing himself with alcohol, just laying around the steps there. You had Laenor that was crying in the ocean. I don't know what was really going on with that. And then you had some really disrespectful stuff with Daemon and Rhaenyra were out there hooking up on the beach when his wife just died. That wasn't exactly cool, but overall, you know, I thought it was really well written. It just wasn't as much action as I was thinking, but the positives of the side, I really thought it was visually gorgeous with Aemon soaring on Vhagar, that big fucking behemoth that thing is, over the Driftmark area, and you had like the moon in the sky. So that part was really cool, and then you kind of had the, you know, they definitely need some family counseling with the whole, you know, basically in the Driftmark basement there going back and forth. And Aemon gets his eye cut out by Lucerys. So it was really cool. Like, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't exactly one of my favorites. I just, there was no bad episodes in the season. Just like you said, just it wasn't one of my favorites because it was a little bit more of a slower episode for me. What'd you put for number 10?
Number 10 for me, I put episode 1, and a lot of it has to do with, obviously the story has to build, so a lot of it was backstory onto where we are to start this whole era of the Dance with the Dragons and how it comes in and starts and all that good stuff. So for me, I believe episode 1, it was a great, when I watched it, it was a great first episode. But they did an amazing job of making every other episode a little bit stronger on top of it. And that's ideally how a series should go. Like, the first episode should draw you in, but every episode after that should build a little bit and make it a little bit more exciting and more important. And I really do believe that episode 1 was a good episode overall. It's just the biggest action we got was probably, what, the tournament? Or maybe Daemon running through with the commander of the city. Him as the commander of the city watch and taking people's hands off, their heads off, their dicks off, whatever it may be. I just think that if I put it in a vacuum, there's just so many more things that are relevant for the remainder of the series and bring more action as the series goes on than I can really say for episode one. It was a good foundation. It was a good basis. But for that reason, I just couldn't put it any higher than my 10th ranked episode, because every other episode to me had more important moments or higher action or was visually more attractive than what I saw on episode one. So episode one gets my 10th ranked spot. What about you for number nine?
Number nine, I got episode six. It was pretty cool. I didn't like the idea, though, that Damon was just stuck over in Pentos and kind of gained some weight there. You know, he's kind of getting out of shape a little bit. But you had, like, kind of the really cool moment with where it deviated from the book a little bit. I didn't like what happened to her character, but Lena dies, but I did like how she was like, Dracarys! And Vhagar burned her to smithereens. But so that part was really cool. But, you know, this was where you really had kind of that time jump there. It was really good. It just wasn't one of my favorite episodes. I think the reason I didn't like it as much was just because I wanted to see more involvement from what had become of kind of what happened to during Damon during that big time jump. But you kind of just see he's been sitting over there, you know, taking offerings from people, trying to make some money on the side. So I gave episode six my number nine ranking. What about you?
Number nine for me was episode three. And I know it's going to come off as strange because we had one of the coolest moments and coolest parts of the whole first season in episode three. But if I take episode three as a whole, it was a little bit slower than I would have liked. That was where it was King Viserys' son with Alicent, Aegon's second name day. And, you know, nothing crazy really happens except, you know, we start to see the kingdom is rumbling about, hey, are we going to make Aegon heir today? Are we going to stick with Rhaenyra? Rhaenyra runs off into the woods with Sir Criston Cole, like, gets attacked by a boar, and she loses her mind and, like, repeatedly stabs it. And, you know, Big White Heart appears, and that's kind of cool. You know, the very beginning part of episode three, it had, you know, Caraxes come down and on the stepstones, and that looked really cool. And at the very end of episode three, obviously, we had that great moment of Daemon kind of taking out a whole army by himself. And that section is awesome. But as a whole, the episode's an hour fucking long. You know, I'm not going to give an episode a higher ranking just on one small section that was phenomenal. You know what I mean? So it ranked above episode one, in my opinion, but it's not going to go higher than number nine in my rankings here. So episode nine goes to episode three for me, and I'll go ahead and turn it over to you for episode your eighth ranked spot for your episodes.
Yeah, you're not going to be happy about this one, but I think our rankings are just a little bit different here. But I got episode 10 for number 8, sir. Episode 10! Towards the bottom of the line. But, I mean, I thought it was good. It wasn't bad. My favorite part, I mean, I kind of fucked up for me to say my favorite part. Lucerys gets ate by Vhagar. But it was badass to see on screen. It was fucking awesome. Aemon, I wouldn't say he's my fucking boy, but he looks cool as shit. It was like going after him. You finally saw the sapphire eye. Just like you said, dude could have been like a samurai warrior in an anime. Yeah, it was badass. It was fucking awesome. But at the same time, I mean, and you did have a lot of really cool moments. Like you had Eric bring over, you know, Viserys' crown to Rhaenyra, and everyone bends the knee to Rhaenyra except for Rhaenys, who just got, you know, flown with Maelys over there at the beginning of the episode. So you have like a lot of these full circle moments. Still not sure how he escaped all the way into the corpse of Viserys and took it off his body, but I'll let it slide. But it was good. There were no bad episodes. It just wasn't exactly, you know, there was just so many better ones, in my opinion. So for that, episode 10, I like that it all kind of, you know, came full circle. And, you know, at the very end there, too, you saw definitely we're going to be in, you know, in clutch time for season 2 when that comes around. She wasn't exactly happy with Lucerys becoming, as we said in the differences, I'm assuming he became a fisherman, but he probably died. So yeah, with Lucerys' death. So, but it was great. It was a great episode. A lot of really cool full circle moments there. So I gave it my number 8 spot because the full circle moments were great, but I just need a little more action there. I need a little more little hand-to-hand combat, you know? Over to you, Jay Nelly.
My number 8th spot goes to episode 7. And Chase already put episode 7 as his last ranked in his number 10. It hit number 8 for me because there was important moments where Aemond finally getting a dragon and getting the biggest dragon really does play a huge impact on the Dance with Dragons as a whole, with him bringing Vhagar to that side. So I think that was just super important. On top of that, it's where Rhaenyra and Daemon finally end up married. And yes, it was super disrespectful, but in terms of where it takes the series, it's super important there because now the two Targaryens are together, Daemon and Rhaenyra, and they have a better claim and better lineage since they have children. Versus in her bastard children with Sir Harwin Strong, and obviously bringing Daemon to your side and having him in this sort of quarrel or predicament, it's not a bad thing. You know, without Daemon, they're not going to be doing much at all in terms of this war. So I do think those are two really key moments. I mean, on top of that, you got pretty much Driftmark got fucked, right? Corlys and Rhaenys, they lost Laena and Laenor in the same episode. I mean, they said goodbye to Laena and lost Laenor in the same episode. So, you know, there's a big moments there with the weakening of the Velaryon house. And, you know, keep in mind, in Game of Thrones, we never even hear of Velaryons because I'm assuming they all are, you know, they are extinct. And this is probably a big reason why, is because they lost their daughter and they lost their son, talking about Corlys and Rhaenys. And so this is why it ranked up a little bit higher to the 8th spot and didn't rank down so low, because I believe a lot of what happens in episode 7 really kind of propels things to go forward in the series as a whole, not just season 1, but I think it's going to, a lot of things play a big role moving forward, but still not enough for me to rank it any higher than 8. It was more of a slower episode as far as House of the Dragon goes. You know, for any sort of regular show, it's a great episode. It's still a great episode. It's just there's other episodes that are better and have more meanings, more action, better visuals, whatever it may be. But yeah, that's why episode 7 gets my 8th rank spot. Let's go ahead and turn it over to Chase for his number 7 spot.
Number 7. And I actually really like this episode, but there were just better ones in my opinion. Episode 5, with the wedding, Rhaenyra's wedding, and Criston Cole confesses his love. He wanted her to be Helena Troy and run away. Helena Sparta that ran away became Helena Troy. But yeah, he run away for some oranges that he was going to farm himself. And, you know, I thought it was really cool, I'll say. I liked it better in the book that we talked about, but it was badass. I hate to say it like this, but the fight scene in the wedding was fucking awesome because you didn't really expect it. And you kind of thought something might happen with Daemon and Rhaenyra in this moment here because, you know, Daemon, like, you know, grabs his chair and, you know, you had Viserys who was, like, cutting his chicken, like, paranoid as fuck, man. So, and then it totally took you by surprise, and it was really full circle, too, because, you know, he came up to her on that ship, and you can tell he's still kind of being a little bitch about it, but at the same time, Joffrey is over here saying, you know, he knows his secrets and everything, so, and I like the dance they did there, too. I thought it was cool. It was really good choreography, so I gave it, it wasn't my favorite episode by far, but I thought it was a really cool episode, and you had Alicent also kind of make her first big stand on this, and she came down with the Hightower green dress, and remember what they were saying is the Hightower green is the color the Beacon show when they go to war, so it was badass, it was excellent, it was kind of like the first big stance for Alicent, and I just thought, I really enjoyed it, so I gave it my number 7 spot. Number 7 is not a bad spot, but it kind of just is like an is what it is spot. With that, I'll turn it back over to you, Jay Nelly.
For me, episode 2 hit my 7th ranked spot. Episode 2, it was fine. Nothing wrong with it at all. Obviously, it ranked a little bit above the other ones that I had listed. But really, there's not terribly too much that goes on here. Obviously, we have, you know, Sir Criston Cole being named to the Kingsguard, which is an important part of this whole story because he is a prominent role throughout the entirety of the season and the series. But on top of that, outside of that moment, that we have Corlys trying to get Viserys to marry Elena, but Viserys decides at the end of the episode he's going to marry Alicent instead, and that's a huge moment going there, but just not wildly exciting. It's not something that I was on the edge of my seat like, oh wow, you know what I mean? And I just think that, you know, overall episode 2, it had the real cool thing that happened is when Daemon stole the dragon egg and they go to Dragonstone, and we have the cool face-off between Daemon and Otto and like Daemon's men and the Hand of the King's men, and we got Caraxes behind Daemon. All of a sudden, Rhaenyra flies in on Syrax on the other side, and it looks like something cool could boil over. And I don't know, maybe if a battle had broken out, maybe something that would have propelled this episode. But really, all it did was, you know, they defused it pretty quickly. She walked up and was like, hey, listen, I'm the reason why you're mad, so go ahead and kill me and it'll be all done. And Daemon doesn't do it. He just gives her the egg back, throws it at her like he's upset. And so I don't know, man. It was fine. The episode itself was good. I just couldn't rank it any higher than number 7. So number 7, it goes to episode 2 for me. What about your number 6 ranked episode?
Number 6, I got episode 4. Rhaenyra sneaking out with Daemon to Fleabottom after you thought Daemon had turned a new leaf, you know? He was crowned King of the Stepstones, and he was over there giving his crown to Viserys, saying how there was only one true king, but secretly, you know, this man is not going to just play nicey-nice. And he got Rhaenyra out there exploring, you know, kind of stepping out of her shell, that's for sure. And remember, it was so funny. It was very relatable in a way to like a college night. Remember, he wakes up and he was just fucked up beyond belief when Missaria woke him up. And then Viserys had him dragged into the courtroom. And he was just still fucked up and was like, wed her to me. I want Rhaenyra. It's like just fucked up beyond belief. It was fantastic. I love that moment. I thought it was great. And this is really where you have Viserys very turned off with Daemon, and it's right when you think they had just brought their family ties back together, and secretly, you know, Daemon, in my opinion, was really just playing chess with everybody here. So for that reason, I ranked it number 6. I couldn't rank it higher because, you know, it was more of kind of like it was action, but it was more of like a thriller, psychological action versus like action on screen, like hand-to-hand combat or dragons or something. So for that, I gave episode 4 number 6 on my ranking list. Back to you, Jay Nelly.
So I think this is the one ranked episode that falls at the same for me and you here, because all the rest have been wildly different. But I also put episode 4 as my number 6 ranked episode. And a lot of what you just had mentioned when you went over the key points of episode 4, just to expand on that a little bit, this is the reason why it gets a little bit higher than the other episodes. Is this is the big first conflict that happens with Rhaenyra, where people have got to start taking a side one way or the other. This is where Otto has to decide, oh shit, am I going to tell the king about his daughter? Then Alicent's like, oh, I trust Rhaenyra, she's my best friend. And that ends up getting Otto fired from his position, and that creates a whole rift. And so there's so many moving chess pieces in this episode that it gets closer to the middle of the pack for me. You know, and then on top of that, this is where she sleeps with Sir Criston Cole after Daemon takes her through all of the Streets of Silk, gets her all riled up and all that, and then she ends up sleeping with Sir Criston Cole, and that's what causes a big conflict between Criston Cole and Rhaenyra later on, and when he decides he wants to love her with all his heart and go forward and marry her and take off to Essos and have the oranges, the big bag of oranges and all that. So, like, this is the start of him going from a hero or a protagonist character to his villain arc starting because of what happens in this specific episode. And then on top of that, you got Viserys banning Daemon back to the Vale with his wife, which is going to play a little bit of a role, and start kicking the shit out of him while he's drunk and hungover on the floor because he wants to marry his daughter, which is hilarious because they end up marrying anyways, so you might as well have just fucking bit the bullet. But anyways, yeah, that being said, that's exactly the same rank I have for episode 4 as Chase's. It's number 6 goes to episode 4. Go ahead and move into your 5th ranked episode.
Number 5. I actually really like this episode a lot. Episode 8, when Viserys passes away and, you know, their Alicent is confused and really confused and everything he says, just took it her own way. And, you know, he's delirious and passes away and was saying Emma's name. But honestly, I ranked it so high because it was badass. You know, this is the moment where Vaemond didn't give a fuck. He said, "Those children are bastards!" And then it says that she's a whore. And then Viserys says, "I'll have your tongue for that." But Daemon, the badass he is, cut off the top of his head and said he can keep his tongue. I was badass as fuck. And then the other reason I ranked it so high, it's really a ridiculous reason. See what I did there with the pun, ridiculous crew? But it really is. But Aemon, man, dude, it's so hard to not like this motherfucker. This guy's fucking awesome. Final tribute. A toast to my nephews. These strong boys. And after that whole spiel, he goes, "What, do you not want to be strong?" It was great, man. I absolutely loved it. At the same time, Paddy Constantine, man, I got to give him credit. Like, everyone was, you know, I think this is really where his acting stepped up, honestly. Like, I got to give him props. Like, yeah, this was amazing. At least for me, I thought this. It was an amazing, heartfelt scene. I actually felt for this man here. You know, when he removes his mask and you're kind of like, what the fuck? I felt bad for him. Like, it's like you could kind of really tell, like, he really wanted his family to get along. And that really made me really admire this episode for all those reasons. And it reminded me literally of, like, something that usually would happen if you're talking politics or something at the dinner table at Christmas or something with your family. Just in an extreme, extreme scenario. So, with that being said, I'll turn it over for your number 5, Jay Nelly.
Number 5 for me, I gave to episode 6. This was the perfect episode to put in the middle pack of my rankings because a lot of really important things happen in episode 6. Not the least of which is to start out with it, even though it's towards the end of the episode. But Sir Harwin Strong and Lord Lionel Strong are burnt to death in Harrenhal. And that makes Otto reclaim his position as Hand of the King. Where, you know, let's say those two survive. Who the hell knows, you know, if that Otto ever comes back and maybe this potential war is never even, you know, brought up, you know. So I think that super important. On top of that is where we meet the children that are supposed to, because this is right after the huge time jump, the 10-year gap between episode 5 and episode 6, where they actually did the actor and actress changes from you know, young Rhaenyra to older Rhaenyra, from young Alicent to older Alicent. And you know, we see the children that they have and how they look nothing like Laenor, and this is where the whole, like, oh shit, these are not Laenor's children, this is going to be a problem later on. And that's one of the biggest problems Alicent has, and why she believes that she shouldn't, like, you know, but Rhaenyra probably shouldn't be the heir to the Iron Throne, because eventually that throne's going to pass down to her children that are bastard children. And that, you know, we see this start to be shown here. On top of that, we saw the animosity between Kristen Cole and Harwin Strong, except, like we mentioned last week, what difference is, what ends up happening here, Harwin Strong is the one that knocks Kristen Cole down and starts beating the shit out of him until they all grab him, because he's like, oh, you have so much concern. I mean, usually one wouldn't have this kind of concern unless it was like a cousin or a brother or a son, and just loses his mind and beats the hell out of him. So I just think there's a lot of key things that happen in episode 6 that really set the stage for why this war, this is like the why episode, the why the war starts, why things start to get heated up, is, you know, we see Bastard children. We see who their true father really is. Then their true father dies along with his father, which is the Hand of the King, which allows Otto Hightower to come back in and start making moves again, where he was brought out of it for a long period of time. So it's that was just a... I think this episode was the most important episode when it first released out of all of them. So I really did like episode 6 a lot. And obviously, as we move forward into it, there's higher ranked episodes for me. But I really do think that episode 6 deserves right in the middle here. It took my number 5 spot. Go ahead and go into your number 4 spot.
Oh, man. You're not going to like this at all. Number 4, episode 2, baby. Let's go. Yeah. The real Dance of the Dragons standoff. It was fucking awesome. Yeah, Daemon that flew off with Missaria. Otto is pissed about it. You know, they decide that they're going to go after Daemon, and they show up there. And remember, Criston Cole is with him, and Daemon says, "Sir Crispin, was it?" And then, of course, Criston says, "Perhaps my prince remembers when I knocked him off his horse." It was badass. It was awesome. Remember, and then you had Rhaenyra shows up on Syrax, and you had, you know, the standoff between dragons, just like Jay Nelly was saying, right after Daemon drew his sword and pointed it at Sir Otto, and it was just fucking awesome. And, you know, and that's what really gets Daemon to stop, and he just tosses the egg to fucking Rhaenyra. I remember we were talking about, like, what if that fucking egg went off the bridge? Like, what if that would really had fucked things up? But it was awesome. I think he even said something to an extent at one point. Daemon did. He was like, "Bring me Sir Otto's head," or something like that. But it was...
No,
did he say
said,
something like that?
No, that was a different episode. That was episode 10 when they came to terms. Like, they came to bring terms to Rhaenyra from King Aegon. And he tells Sir Eric to bring him Otto Hightower's head. And that one, he was just going to take it to himself. Like,
oh, okay, yeah, yeah. But point being was, I thought it was fucking awesome because you saw the dragons, like, standing off with each other. Missaria, absolutely phenomenal actress. Stunning, gorgeous. Reminded me of Talia from Game of Thrones. It was fantastic.
Talissa.
Is that her name?
No, Talissa.
Talissa. Yeah. Talissa. Talia isn't she the girl, serving girl?
Yeah, Talia is the serving girl that reports to the White Worm. Actually, reports to Missaria, so yeah,
there you go. Sorry, that's how I had it mixed up there. Anyways, but yeah, so with that, I ranked it number 4, episode 2, baby. Turn it back over to Jay Nelly for your number 4 spot.
Yeah, it's just wild because you only named one part of episode 2 that you liked so
much. And that's
much.
All it needed? That's all? It was that fucking good, man. That's all it needed. They could just cut it all out and put that on there and save some time and save some budget money because it was fucking excellent. I loved every minute of it, especially the last 5 minutes. That's the part I love the most.
That's absurd. Yeah. What a wild take. But anyways, my 4 rank spot goes to episode 8. I think it was a really cool part. This is where there was the second time jump between episode 7 and episode 8. The 6 years had passed, and this is where you really see Viserys' deteriorated condition. Dude can barely, like, keep his head up in bed. They see that he's been fed all of this milk of the poppy, so his brain's not working right. It's a little foggy and hazy. You know, the Hightowers make their first real insult to Daemon and Rhaenyra because they don't even greet them when they land at King's Landing. They make Lord Caswell greet them, which, you know, we know they did that on purpose because Sir Harold even says, you know, "Hey, they were greeted as you mentioned." He's like, "Yeah, as befits their station," is what Otto had said. So that was pretty rude there. And this whole episode was a big what's going to happen kind of episode going forward because Daemon came to petition for him to take over Driftmark if Lord Corlys passes away from the fever. And you think that the Hightowers are going to side with him, and this is because Viserys is bedridden, and even Rhaenys tells Rhaenyra this is where the Hightowers strike their first blow. This is where they land their first blow. So it's going to happen. And Rhaenyra goes to her father's bedside and pleads with him to, you know, as you can barely, he doesn't even seem conscious, so it's amazing that he even heard her. And she said, "If you want me to bear this, you have to help me defend it. Defend me, defend my children. Like, help me out." And then, as Daemon gives his badass speech about how he should be the new Lord of Driftmark, you see Rhaenyra about to, you know, give her claim, and you see Otto and Allison, you know, it's going to fall on deaf ears. I don't give a shit about Rhaenyra. And before she kind of gets too far into her spiel, the door is open and King Viserys is announced, and the way he's announced is so badass. And you see him on his little walker, and he's got the mask over his face, and he makes his way up to the throne. Daemon helps him out. You see, this is the first time that he gets Daemon's respect, in my opinion. And then he ends up reaffirming Lucerys' position as the heir to Driftmark with Rhaenys, you know, flipping the switch at the last moment when she sees Viserys arrive. I thought that was a really important moment. And, you know, so they foiled the Hightower's plans there to get Driftmark to Vaemond if Corlys didn't make it through the fever. Then you had Vaemond loses shit and start calling Rhaenyra a whore and their children bastards, and Daemon cuts his fucking head off in front of the court. Tells him he can keep his tongue because his head's halfway across the floor. That was fucking cool. And then, of course, as Chase was mentioning for this episode as well, going down there, having that big dinner with all the family together, and Viserys gives that heartfelt speech, and things are feeling great. You think it's going to be a big kumbaya. Everyone's liking each other. Allison's toasting Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra's toasting Allison. And then eventually Viserys is in pain and he's sick. He has to be taken away. Then they drop the roasted pig in front of Aemon, which is that full circle moment back from when they tried to give Aemon a pig as a dragon because no dragon would hatch for Aemon. And then he slams the damn table and causes that whole big scene, calls them strong boys. And then he had that little scuffle and everything was going so well, and then ruined it at the last moment. And then you have that moment where Viserys is in his bed and he's having this delirious dream where he thinks he's talking to Rhaenyra, but actually talking to Allison about Aegon and the Conqueror's dream and the prince that was promised. And Allison's like, oh, you want me to promise to put Aegon, our child, on the throne? Sure, I promise. So then we got that whole miscommunication. And so there's so many big key moments that happened in this episode. It's crazy to rank it any lower than the fourth ranked spot. So for me, episode 8 hits number 4. Go ahead into your number 3 ranked episode.
Number 3, episode 9, The Green Council. This was a badass episode, man. It was awesome. This is when the Greens really do, in the words of Rhaenys from episodes before this, this was the same one where, just like you were saying just a moment ago, you know, Daemon got his head cut off, but, you know...
Vaemond got his head cut off.
Or, sorry, not Daemon. Yeah, my bad. Vaemond. Daemon's our boy. Yeah. Daemon cut Vaemond's head off. Let me rephrase that. Said you can keep his tongue. Anyways, point being is, in the words of Rhaenys, the Hightowers make their first blow or something like that is what she said. Point being is this is really when the Greens do make their first big moves. And this one was awesome. It had, you know, Lyman Beesbury getting his head shoved on the table by Kristen Cole, bleeding out and making sure the door stayed shut, according to Otto Hightower. And he had to stay there bleeding out. And then Aemon and Kristen Cole, you know, you had the great race, like you were saying. We're going... trying to find Aegon while Eric and Eric were doing the same thing. And then you had Missarya, you find out, is the White Worm. And then at the same time, right when you thought things couldn't get any better, of course you had Caswell that was hung up by the castle walls as Rhaenys was escaping. And then as Aegon is being crowned king in front of that massive crowd and he's enjoying it, you have... Rhaenys burst up through the boards. The beast beneath the boards is fulfilled, and Maelys is there, and then she still decides to not burn everyone to the ground. And you know she's clearly taking the side of Team Black, and then flies off, which you wind up seeing her the episode after. So it was an excellent episode. Definitely is the episode where, you know, the Greens make their move. It was their move on the table at this point, and they're moving the pawns in place. So episode 9, I put as number 3. What about you, Jay Nelly?
I guess this is the second time that our rankings lined up, because I also put episode 9 as my third ranked position. Now, there's one thing I wanted to say, because obviously Rhaenys did not clearly take Team Black at that point, because they had to have a deliberation with her and Corlys about what they were going to do. She kind of stayed out of it because she didn't know if they should even stay out of the war entirely. But anyways, episode 9, a lot of what you said, there's not terribly too much I can add to why this episode ranks so high. It was the Hightowers on the chessboard, you know, making the moves that they've been planning for a long time. We learned in the small council that they've been planning for this for a while, and they have to start making moves. But then you start to see that they're talking about Allison, her and her father aren't necessarily on the same page. So they're kind of working against each other while also at the same time working against Rhaenyra. And you had you mentioned the Amazing Race. They found Aegon, realized that Aegon wanted no part of being king. He was content to go sail off and run away forever. And Aemon could have been king if that was the case. And then we really had some fun stuff going on. But we got the White Worm Asaria comes into play, like you had mentioned. We see the really cool part of Rhaenys bursting through the floor with Maelys, and she was given an ultimatum, basically back the Greens or you're just going to stay here as a prisoner, and to ring the bell when she had an answer. And oh, did she have an answer? It's called a dragon to your fucking face. That's her answer.
Dragon to the face, baby. In the face.
Yeah, so... Yeah, there's just a lot of action in episode 9, a lot of moving pieces, all focused on the Hightowers and them coronating King Aegon II as the king to the Seven Kingdoms. So that was huge. There was a lot of amazing moments that had happened, and it is one of the most important episodes, not even just like on a list of favorites of our personal opinion, just in importance. It really moves it along and shows what the plans were the whole time for them regardless. And yeah, man, that was really cool. So for me, I agreed with you on that one. My third ranked spot goes to episode 9. Go ahead and go into your second ranked episode.
This is where our rankings are clearly different. I can't believe they ended up so low for you. Episode 1 I put as ranking number 2. Ranking number 2, episode 1, the big tournament. Viserys holds a tournament for his baby boy that's about to be born. And man, it was fucking badass. You had fucking Kristen Cole unhorse Daemon where he slides across the jousting pole or whatever the fuck you want. The jousting median slides across and then they fucking duke it out, going blow for blow. And you know, Daemon thinks he's won the whole thing, and then Kristen Cole being a bitch like trips him down, while at the same time you have Viserys boy from Emma is that being born, but they had to cut it out so Emma is forced to die. And then of course, yeah, you have at Rhaenyra, who's really upset over it. This is the first time, really, you had that full circle Game of Thrones moment where you hear Dracarys, and then the dragon burns the little baby boy. Very sad. But a big, powerful moment there, man. And you know, my favorite part of all, that's why I skipped over it, because I wanted to save it for the last part of this episode. You're a pack of hounds. And he was out there. Daemon was out there with the gold cloaks torturing those motherfuckers. Fuck yes. He was cutting arms off. They were cutting hands off. He was keeping the law as it should be, holding it up for Viserys. They got to have more respect for this man because he was putting those laws in place, baby. He was making sure we had order like the Star Wars Empire. That's why I'm a Sith Lord. Absolutely loved it. Daemon Targaryen for the win, baby. He should have been king. They stole what was rightfully his. And with that, episode 1 gets number 2 on my ranking list. Back to you, Jay Nelly.
So it seems to... I come to find a little bit of a pattern with Chase. For him, it seems as if action plays a bigger role in his rankings, where for me, it's more of the tactics and the thoughts and the intelligence behind it, more so than the action itself, that ranks higher for me. Because I put... for my number 2 ranked episode, episode 5. I thought episode 5 was fantastic. It was the wedding there. This is where the real start of the... I wouldn't say the start of the war, but this is where Alicent realizes, you know, because of Loras, that Rhaenyra lied to her, you know, because he talked about, like, oh, man, the Grand Maester brought her some tea late at night, and I'm just so glad that she's okay, because, you know, him bringing her the tea that late... You would think that is something serious, but if she just rode off with Viserys, I think we're okay here. And at that point, Allison realizes, oh shit, I fucked up because I trusted my best friend and I got my father fired because of this because I took Rhaenyra's side. And now she's super fucking pissed, walks in that damn wedding with her green gowns. And like you had mentioned when you talked about episode 5 on your rankings, that, you know, Lars asks Sir Harwin, you know, do you know what color the beacons light in Old Town when the high towers go to war? And he's like, what, green? You know, so that was super cool. And then on top of that, you have the part where Daemon almost tries to convince Rhaenyra not to marry Laenor. He's like, you're going to be dreadfully bored. You know, this is not for you. And she's like, okay, fine. Then come take me away. Make me your wife. Cut through the Kingsguard. Then take me on your way. And obviously, the part where Kristen Cole loses his shit and beats Joffrey Lama to death in front of the whole damn court, faces no murder charges at all, that gets away scot-clean from murder, first-degree murder in front of everybody. Can't even deny it. Everyone saw it, but he gets fucking promoted to Allison's direct bodyguard from there. So that's absurd. He tried to even kill himself out by the Godswood tree, and she said, Sir Kristen. And then, so he ends up leaving there. But this is, I think this episode is wildly important, and it has a strong case for me to be ranked number one. Because, you know, on top of that, we have other areas that come into play, because this is where Daemon kills his wife, Rhea Royce, so he can be single again. And ideally, he hopes to take all the land and all the inheritance from the Royces in the Vale of Arryn as his own. And, you know, this is where Otto leaves you know, he gets booted out in episode 4, but this is him leaving King's Landing in this one and has this whole conversation that, dude, your whole hope here is that Rhaenyra is going to take mercy on you guys because she could end up putting your children to the sword because she'll have no choice because they're challengers to it. And it just, there's too many amazing moments that, you know, on top of the action-packed wedding scene there too, that just make this a very, very important episode to the season and to the series as a whole. So I just think that this, and then you, not on top, not even just on that end too, we also realize that we're going to have a conflict because this is the episode where we realize that Sir Laenor prefers men to women. So now we even though we don't know what ends up happening until episode 6 when her children are born and they look just like Sir Harwin Strong, we start to plant the seeds of, like, this could be a problem if he prefers men and she prefers men as well. Like, how is he going to get her pregnant? Maybe they'll just, like, bring a guy in there and try to get it to finish. Like, maybe she'll finish off, he'll finish off inside of her and see if we can get some babies out of this. But no, but this is the conflicts are just rising here. And then on top of that, what happens at the very end of the episode, King Viserys drops and collapses to the stone floor. And at that point, you don't even know if he survives that, but he ends up surviving it. But his condition is getting worse, and that's the point. So there's just too many important moments that happen for me to rank episode 5 any lower than number 2. And honestly, has a really good, you know, argument to be ranked number 1, but I did find one more episode a little better overall with everything included. So my number 2 ranked episode goes to episode 5. Go ahead with your top spot, number 1. What episode gets your top spot?
Dude, number 1, I think you know what gets number 1. And there's no episode that can even compete with it. It was amazing. It was fantastic from beginning to end. It had the best action out of any fucking episode on here. Episode 3, Daemon and the Crab Boy. Fuck you, Prince Drahar. Fuck you. That was badass as fuck. It started off the episode. Remember that guy was getting crucified? It was like, fuck, quote, fuck you, Prince Drahar. Fuck you. And then Caraxes, baby, came down and then was swooping down, burning everyone in the stepstones as Daemon was on top of him, looking like a fucking Spartan man. It was awesome. And then the guy was screaming. He was like, Prince Daemon, my prince. And then Caraxes comes down and slams on him and just kills him and is burning everything in his path. Also at this time, powerful moments. You have Rhaenyra pissed because, you know, they're celebrating Aegon's second name day. Also at this time, you have, like, Jason Lannister, who finally kind of gives the first hint that maybe they weren't expecting Rhaenyra to stay heir to the throne at this point. And, you know, Viserys is mad about it. And then Rhaenyra gets pissed and hauls off for Criston Cole. Well, actually, she hauled off on her own on that white stallion. And Criston Cole goes afterwards. And then they were looking for, I guess they called it a white hart is what they called it, right? Is that right? I called it a reindeer. But it was badass, man. You know, they were looking for that stag. Basically, I use Harry Potter terms here. But, you know, to celebrate Aegon's name day, but it was actually Rhaenyra that saw it. So that could be symbolism, a little bit of prophecy, but she lets it go. And then also, the warthog attack, man, that evil Pumbaa came out of nowhere, pissed. And then Criston Cole stabs it, and you think it's, like, dead, but it's actually not. And then Rhaenyra gets pissed and just keeps stabbing it over and over. Could be symbolism there because she had the blood all over her. And they come back. And then also you had this moment where maybe this is the moment that Jay Nelly, props to Jay Nelly on this. He's the one that brought it up on the show. You know, put in Allison's head. Maybe this is the moment she starts getting confused because Viserys decides to keep sipping on that sauce, baby. He's been sitting on that sauce the entire celebration and is just pissed off. So he's over by the fire and says all this stuff about, you know, he had thought about possibly, you know, maybe he made a mistake, really, is kind of what he was saying. He didn't flat out say Rhaenyra shouldn't be heir or anything, but, like, he was debating whether or not he made a mistake, right? And that's when maybe the thought kind of went in there. So it was excellent. And then the best fucking part. That's fucking part. You saw Daemon go on that kamikaze fucking run after Vaemon and Corlys, all these motherfuckers, were over there doubting his ass. He was going to put an end to Prince Drahar, the crab feeder, goes on that kamikaze run, takes on all his men by himself, dodging arrows, dives underneath the wood of a ship that looks like it's been, you know, decaying for months and rotten away, and they're all about to attack him, and what happens? Then you have the Valyrians come out on Sea Smoke, Laenor riding on him, and they're burning that shit like they were born in Scorpions and Game of Thrones, baby, and it was fucking awesome. You had Corlys that was using his fucking axe. We call him the Axe Man, the Axe Murderer. It was fucking sick. He was chopping down dudes left and right. Vaemon was kicking some ass, but ultimately we saw Daemon go in that fucking cave and come out dragging his ass by the leg. His fucking guts were going everywhere. Half his body was missing with that, like, grayscale or whatever the fuck he had, with half his face was melted on that mask, Prince Drahar. And then Prince Drahar's upper body was just floating in the little sand there as his blood was leaking out. And we knew Daemon is the man. Daemon would have said, "You shut the fuck up. I'll do this all myself because I'm the shit." And that's what it is. Daemon is the fucking man, and there is no one that can compare to this man in the entire series. He saved the Stepstones by himself, and he was crowned after this, and that's why I had to give episode 3 best fucking episode, hands down, of the series. Best action ever. Nothing compares. And off to Jay Nelly.
Dude basically gave us a whole recap of the damn episode. But anyway, I don't know. I just didn't find it that important. It was very small parts. So for me, episode 3 was very, very low on my list. But my number 1 ranked episode goes to episode 10. It was the last one, and I think that's how it's supposed to be, is, you know, you get left off on this huge cliffhanger, and we get left off after the huge dragon battle. Now, I don't want to call it a huge dragon battle because it wasn't really a battle at all. Aemon was chasing Lucerys with Vhagar underneath Aemon, and Vhagar is 5 times the size of Aerys, and Aerys is trying to get away, but almost like I mentioned it too when we went over the recap of episode 10, it was almost like a cornered animal when it's going to end up lashing out and striking because it feels threatened, and that's what ended up happening. Aerys threw a little fireball, a little baby fireball, and it hit Vhagar in the face, and then all shit breaks loose because you know, Eryx wasn't supposed to do that, and Lucera's like, no, Eryx, don't do that. And then all of a sudden, Vagar's like, oh, you motherfucker, and then started chasing that motherfucker down. And then, well, you think they're clear, they get out of the storm, and then from the side swipe, just gets, like, in the jaws of Vagar, that you really saw that Eryx had no chance at all. Bit right through him, took two bites, half of Eryx's body falls in the air, and we don't see what happens to Lucera's body, but it effectively starts the war between the greens and the blacks at that point, because before it was just, oh, we're going to try getting each house to our side to see who plays chicken, like, hey, you see what we could do, we better surrender. But now it's all like, oh shit, y'all killed my son on the dragons, and now we gotta really show you what the dragon battle's all about. So that was really important. And on top of that too, we got to see them almost work together in a way. Lord Corlys and Rhaenys pledged their allegiance to Rhaenyra's cause. We've got Daemon there trying to make up all the plans as well, trying to figure out what they're doing. We see the list of dragons that they all have. They got 14 dragons, which is kind of cool. He names them all out. We start to see, we hear about the other places that are going to come into play. Winterfell talking about Storm's End, the Vale of Arryn. So we see a lot of these things are going to come into play later on. We had that, like I said, that really big action between the two dragons. We have Otto coming to make terms. Daemon saying, "Ah, fuck those terms. Bring me his head, Sir Eric." And then we're gonna return the terms to your daughter with your head and your cock shoved in your mouth with our response. Like, just made it, you know, ready to go after it. And Rhaenyra kind of shows a little bit of restraint here, which is interesting because in Fire and Blood, the sections that we were talking about last week don't actually really line up with her trying to be cool headed about it. That's actually wasn't accurately depicted. So, you know, we actually see at the very end her turn around and that look of vengeance in her eye, and you know we're about to get here. And so, what to me, like episode 10 was the Black's response. We see Rhaenyra crowned in front of, in Dragonstone in front of her people as the Queen of the Seven Kingdoms. Eryx had stolen that crown and presented it to her and ended up leaving what his first allegiance were to the greens and shifted right on over to the blacks when he realized what they were doing was wrong. And just a lot of really cool things in that nature. And then we got to see that sick ass painted table with the fire underneath it that showed up all the map of Westeros, and it looked cool as hell. And you know, it's just that episode to me really kicks off the war, and this is where it started in true and in earnest, because now one of the princes, the heir to Driftmark, is dead. The Hightowers drew first blood, whether by accident, by purpose, it doesn't matter. Lucerys is gone, and Rhaenyra will have her revenge, as it looks like in her eyes. So, to me, that made it my favorite episode of the season. And that concludes our rankings of our favorite episodes from 10 to 1. Just to run through it real quick on my end, my ranked episodes from 10 to 1. 10 goes to episode 1. 9 goes to episode 3. 8 goes to episode 7, 7 goes to episode 2, 6 goes to episode 4, 5 goes to episode 6, 4 goes to episode 8, 3 goes to episode 9, 2 goes to episode 5, and 1 goes to episode 10. Chase, go ahead and run through your 10 through 1 quickly.
And number 10, I got episode 7, number 9, episode 6, number 8, episode 10, number 7, episode 5, number 6, episode 4, number 5, episode 8, number 4, episode 2, number 3, episode 9, number 2, episode 1, and number 1, episode 3.
Awesome. That's going to move us into our top 5 favorite moments category here. I'll start this one. Starting from number 5 to number 1, I'm going to keep it quick. I'm going to keep it concise. Number 5, my 5th favorite moment was when Viserys, on his very last day of life, uses the remains of his strength to get out of bed, sit the throne to reaffirm Driftmark's succession to Pastor Lucerys, foiling the Hightower's plan. Then obviously the part where Daemon cuts off Baemon's head after he calls Rhaenyra a whore and the children bastards was cool too. But that is my 5th favorite moment. What is your 5th favorite moment?
Perfect. Actually, we agree on this one. My exact favorite 5th moment is the moment where, just like you said, Viserys comes out and declares once again the petition for Driftmark And, you know, I did like the part where Damon picked up the crown on his head. And also, of course, you know, I'm a big action guy. So when Damon cut off the head of Vaemon, which cut it right through the middle of his head. So that was the Driftmark petition, I called it, for that moment, number five.
Awesome. Number four for me is when Alicent walked in for Rhaenyra's wedding late as fuck, wearing her green gown. And that's when Larys asks Harwin if he knew what color the beacons glow when Old Town calls his banners to war, and he says green. That was my fourth favorite moment. Huge shit there. That's when, you know, realized it was gonna hit the fan. So that was my fourth favorite moment. What is your number four?
Badass. Number four for me, Aemon and Vhagar attacking Lucerys and Viremax and eating his ass. And
not Viremax, you mean Arax, not Viremax.
Arax, yeah. Sorry, Arax. Arax, Viremax, whatever, the little baby dragon. So Vhagar against baby dragon. That's what it was. It's badass. When Aemon and Vhagar had the battle with Lucerys and Arax in the middle of the air, I thought that was awesome. Number four for me. What about you?
Number three is when Viserys was talking to Rhaenyra and expanding on Aegon's dream, the Song of Ice and Fire. Not when he first mentions it in episode one, but when he had the blade resting in the coals of fire and pulls it out, and Rhaenyra reads it and it says, "From my blood come the prince that were promised, and his will be the Song of Ice and Fire," in episode four. That was my third favorite moment because it foreshadows the entire Game of Thrones series that we watched. And on top of that, it gives a clue, or at least either a plot hole or a clue as to the prince that was promised, because it mentions his will be the Song of Ice and Fire. So that was my third favorite moment. What was your third favorite moment?
Badass. Mine was, you're a pack of hounds. Damon torturing people with the gold cloaks. I thought it was awesome. It opened up episode one in a big way. It was awesome. That was number three for me.
Number two for me is when Damon almost single-handedly took out the entire Triarchy at the Stepstones and killed the crab feeder. That was my number two favorite moment. Thought that was fucking sick.
Badass. Similar, number two for me, Damon fighting Criston Cole in the tournament, episode one, blow for blow, man. That was badass. That was number two. What was number one for you?
Number one for me is when Vhagar killed Arryx and Luke and effectively started the war between the Greens and the Blacks. It was cool to see on screen, especially with Storm's End, how visually stunning it looked, and how it really got its name, and them kind of flying in and out and kind of figuring, is he going to get away? Is he not going to get away? Then at the end, boom, we got Vhagar chomping on Arryx like a snack, and that starts the war between the Greens and the Blacks. Was my number one moment. What's number one for you?
Number one, you know what's number one for me. Damon fighting Prince Drahar, the crab feeder, in the Stepstones, cutting his ass in half and dragging him out by the leg. Number one for me, I thought it was badass. Go through your list, 5 through 1.
Yes, 5 for me, Viserys on his last day of life, using the remains of his strength to get out of bed and reaffirm Driftmark's succession passes to Lucerys, which foils the Hightower's plan. Number four, Alicent walking in for Rhaenyra's wedding late, wearing her green gown, and we realizing that the beacons glow green when Old Town calls its banners to war. Number three, talking about Viserys mentioning the Song of Ice and Fire, pulling out the Catspaw dagger, Rhaenyra reading it, and it says, from my blood come the prince that was promised, and his will be the Song of Ice and Fire, in episode four. Number two, Damon almost single-handedly taking out the Triarchy at the Stepstones and killing the crab feeder. And number one, Vhagar killing Arryx and Luke and effectively starting the war between the Greens and the Blacks. What about your 5 through 1?
Number five, that was, of course, Viserys reaffirming the succession of Driftmark, and Damon cutting off the head of Vaemon. And of course, you know, you had that powerful moment where Damon picks up the crown for Viserys. So that was number five for me, the Viserys reaffirming the succession of Driftmark. Number four, Aemon and Vhagar attacking Lucerys and Arryx, beating that ass. And then number three, Damon, pack of hounds, torturing people in Flea Bottom with the gold cloaks in episode one. Number two, Damon and Criston Cole fighting in the tournament, badass. And then number one, of course, Daemon fighting Prince Drahar and the Stepstones and cutting him in half, becoming the King of the Stepstones, was number one.
Awesome. Now we're going to move into the next category, which is our top five favorite dragons. I'll go ahead and let you start, Chase. Go ahead with your fifth ranked dragon.
My fifth ranked dragon, one that's not thought of much, saw only in episode 10. Remember, Daemon was singing that haunting song we talked about, but Vermithor, this thing looked like a fucking beast. Was he kind of like tannish looking? Kind of looked tannish to me. Is that the color?
It was tough to tell because it was dark in there, but you could see he was definitely very old. You see like the gray in the hair, kind of almost similar to Vhagar and how she looked. You know, you can tell how old she was. It just seemed like an older dragon, but very large in size. So yeah, I couldn't really tell the color because it was dark, but yeah, man.
Yeah, looked vicious as fuck though. Like if one could had a chance against Vhagar, I think this is it. But that was King Jaehaerys' old dragon. So I put number five as Vermithor. What about you?
We agreed there. I put number five as Vermithor. What's your number four?
Sea Smoke, man. We saw Laenor ride on him. It was cool looking. You know, he had kind of like that blue and white color, but reminded me of Drogon a little bit, and a lot of them looked very different than Drogon except for Sea Smoke, in my opinion. So kind of gave me Game of Thrones nostalgia there, so I put Sea Smoke as number four. What about you?
Number four for me was Cyrax. We don't really get to see Cyrax do a whole lot other than burn the body of Queen Emma and the son, the little baby son there. And she flies on him a couple times. She has a standoff quickly with Daemon over on Dragonstone, then has a standoff later when Otto comes to bring terms. So we don't see Cyrax do a whole lot, but I like the way Cyrax looked. One of the bigger dragons, but not at the top tier size. So for me, number four goes to Cyrax. What about your number three?
Great one. Number three, I got Meleese. Just for that whole badass scene in the Sept of Baelor over the dragon pit, where, you know, she could have burned everyone down. Thing looked fucking vicious. It had the horns in the back, almost like Drogon, but blood red and the absolutely snaring vicious, and it was fit for the queen that never was. It was awesome. Number three, Meleese. What about you?
Number three for me is going to come as a shock to most people, I'm sure, but number three goes to Vhagar. Vhagar, okay, was the largest dragon in existence at this point in time. Looked great. She's old, but she can still move and she can still fight. Obviously, we saw her kill Aerys and obviously effectively Lucerys in that same moment. And but the thing is we see Vhagar has a soft side as well when Laena pleads with her to burn her alive and die the way that she wants to die. And Vhagar's great. There's nothing against Vhagar. There's just other dragons I liked more for separate reasons. It's not just size for me. There's a lot of things that come into it. But at the end all be all, Vhagar looks like a pretty plain dragon. You know, and obviously in terms of what it's capable of, if I was going to go, you know, strongest dragons, yes, Vhagar would have moved up my list. But this is my favorite dragons, so Vhagar hits number three for me. Go ahead into your number two.
Perfect timing. Number two is Vhagar, just for the fact of what a behemoth she is. Absolutely massive. And you can tell she's a lot older. Like, you can, if you look close, you can even see, like, the battle scars on her wings with the holes and kind of almost, yeah, looks very, almost like droopy kind of in a way, but just an absolute beast. And you had that whole moment at the end with Lucerys and Aerys, how it just, it was no contest. So for that number two, I put Vhagar. What about you?
My number two goes to Sea Smoke. And I love Sea Smoke because of the coloring. It was a medium-sized dragon, but it was that bluish-white. We don't see a lot of dragons with that coloring on top of it. This is one of the dragons that we see that aren't a pure-blood Targaryen's dragon. It is the Velaryon's dragon. So it was really cool to see. I almost call it the dragon of the sea. You know, I think that's kind of cool. And so I just really enjoyed the way it looked, the fact that it is not a Targaryen's dragon, it's a Velaryon's dragon. It's just, to me, I obviously know Vhagar would destroy Seasmoke in a fight, but this isn't the strongest dragon. So for me, I enjoyed the way Seasmoke looked the few times that we saw it, especially on the Stepstones when Laenor came into play with it, when Daemon was doing his kamikaze run, and eventually, you know, we see Seasmoke come down and start blowing some flames. Shit was cool, man. So for me, I know it's not going to be a popular choice, but I put Seasmoke as number two. What about your number one?
Can argue with that. Caraxes! Let's fucking go! Daemon's dragon, baby, and this thing looked cool as shit. Vicious, but like a bloodworm. Like, that's why it gets the nickname bloodworm. Looked just like, almost like an earthworm with a bat, sort of. Had the long neck with the vicious face and snout, but also had wings, like, in the front and the back with the big long tail. This thing was fucking cool. It was blood red, and it kicked ass. It was kicked ass, all in the Stepstones. This thing, I would not want to go toe-to-toe with that motherfucker. So for Caraxes, I put as number one on my list. What about you, Jay Nelly?
Great minds think alike, man. Caraxes hit number one on my list as well because it was really the most unique dragon out of all of them. It's the one that looks so much different than every other ones, and obviously our boy Daemon rides him, so he already looks even more menacing, badass. Caraxes comes to Daemon on like the snap of a call. Seems like he's got great control of him, but yes, how he looks red, like a deep blood red, and his neck is so long, like an earthworm, like you mentioned. So the bloodworm matches as a perfect nickname for Caraxes. It's menacing, it's powerful, and it looks very unique. You can tell the difference between Caraxes and any other dragon that we see in the entire Game of Thrones series. So for those reasons, for me, Caraxes hit number one. And just to go quickly through my 5-1 in terms of my top five favorite dragons, number 5 goes to Vermithor, number 4 goes to Syrax, number 3 goes to Vhagar, number 2 goes to Seasmoke, and number 1 goes to Caraxes. That's my list. Chase, go through your 5-1 on your top 5 favorite dragons.
Number 5, I have Vermithor. Number 4, Seasmoke. Number 3, Meleys. Number 2, Vhagar. Number 1, Caraxes.
Perfect. That's perfect. So now to go on to our next category, we are going to talk about the top 5 best hand-to-hand fighters in our opinion. I'll go ahead and start us out here, and I want to start us off because I want to piss Chase off a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and put number 5 as Aemon Targaryen. He's getting number 5 in my best 5-5, the top 5 best hand-to-hand fighters. Number 5, Aemon Targaryen.
Yeah, no, it was a good one. I can't argue with that, though. But number 5, I actually put one of your favorites, Sir Harold. So, dude trained Criston Cole. He was the only one that commanded Criston Cole when, you know, people were speaking against Alicent in episode 9. So, and, you know, I don't think anyone would want to go toe-to-toe with him. So number 5, I put Sir Harold. What about number 4?
Number 4 for me, I put Sir Harwin Strong. I put Sir Harwin Strong as number 4 because you could see he is a strong guy, not just mentioning his last name, but he saved Rhaenyra in that wedding. He ended up throwing people out of the way, put her on her sword, knocking people out, got her to safety. Then later on in the series when he got super upset, he took Criston Cole to the ground, beat the shit out of Criston Cole. You know, but in terms of what we saw in Fire and Blood, when they went toe-to-toe, Criston Cole got the best of Sir Harwin Strong, so I took that into account as well. And put Sir Harwin Strong at number 4 for me. What do you have for number 4?
Number 4, I got Corlys Velaryon. One not thought of much, but in the Stepstones, you know, he had that big-ass axe, and he was kicking ass out there. So credit where credit is due, man. I put number 4, Corlys Velaryon. What about your number 3?
Number 3 for me goes to Sir Criston Cole. Obviously, he's got to be in the higher ranked areas here between 5-1 because he technically beat Daemon in hand-to-hand combat at the tournament. He's the one that trains Aemon, trains Aegon, trains the princes in total. They trust him to do that. He was not only entrusted to be the direct guard of Rhaenyra when he was on Rhaenyra's side of stuff, But when he shifted over, he trusted to guard the Queen Alicent. So he is thought of very capably. He is someone that, you know, we see his skill in hand-to-hand combat. I still think that there are people that are above him, though. And so Kristen Cole gets number three spot for me. What about you?
Can't argue with that. Number three as well, Kristen Cole, actually, man. So, yeah, he's a beast. Just like you said, he, you know, he is kind of training Aemond. So, I mean, and, you know, he kicked ass at that wedding, and he fought Daemon Targaryen one-on-one, and that's something to be said for that. So, number three, I put Kristen Cole. What about your number two?
Number two for me, this is going to cause a little bit of a stir. I put Sir Harold Westerling. I know that's a very high rate for someone who is not shown that much. We don't see a whole lot of him. And on top of that, in Fire and Blood, he actually dies pretty early. But I always had a feeling that this guy is Lord Commander for a reason of the Kingsguard. On top of that, one of my biggest whole arguments to this is that when the Green Council had its meeting after King Viserys died, people tried to leave, and Otto's like, no one is leaving here until we decide what's happening. And then after Kristen Cole smashed Lyman Beesbury's head down and killed him, Harold Westerling pulled out his sword and says, remove your cloak and lay down your sword, ready to go toe-to-toe with Kristen Cole. Kristen Cole, to his credit, was ready for that battle, but the Harold Westerling had no hesitation whatsoever to really kind of bring that fight to him. And then on top of that, after that little action took place there where they had each other's sword pointed at each other and Alicent calmed it all down, instead of Harold Westerling taking the side of the Green Councils, he said, I only report to the king, I only take commands from the king, and until you find one, I have no place here. And he walked out, and not one fucker tried to stop that man. Not one person tried to stop Harold Westerling from leaving that room. And yeah, so it really reminded me of Sir Barristan Selmy when in Game of Thrones, when they dismissed him from the Kingsguard and they allowed him to walk clean out too, because they didn't want that smoke, man. So there's got to be something special about this Harold Westerling guy, and you know, maybe we'll take a look into Fire and Blood before this time period and see if he did anything amazing to be thought of as the capable Lord Commander of the Kingsguard that he was. But I know it's a stretch, but for me, I like taking risks here, and so Sir Harold Westerling is getting my number two spot on my top five best hand-to-hand fighters. What about number two for you?
Can't argue with that. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like this at all, because statistically, he should be lower, but I don't give a fuck. Aemon Targaryen took my number two, baby. No fucks given. I don't give a shit about tourneys. And specifically because where he is at this point in time, I do believe Kristen Cole wasn't at this level at this age, because he's still a young guy and he was kicking ass when he was training people. Motherfucker was able to claim the biggest dragon in the fucking land. So I think there's something to be said for that. Specifically hand to hand, you probably would get beat by Kristen Cole, but I don't give a fuck. I'm biased. And I love the fact that he said, final tribute to these strong boys. Do they not want to be strong? Because he was willing to train them to be strong, right? I'm just fucking with you. So I gave Aemon number two. What about you?
My number one spot goes to the man, the myth, the legend, Daemon Targaryen himself, man. Like, don't think there was much, you know, shock to this at all. We see, of all the action that we see in season one, 90% of it goes to Daemon, right? We see him in the tournament knocking people off horses, hand-to-hand combat. We see him in the Stepstones running the little, you know, kamikaze run, taking out the majority of the Crabfeeder's army himself, then taking out the Crabfeeder one-on-one. We see him numerous times just ready for action at all points and places. When at Dragonstone, when he took the egg, they were ready to take the egg back from him, and he was going to try to do it all on his own. He was ready. I mean, he had his back up there, but he was front and center with that sword out, like, let's do this thing. And then on top of that, back when they tried to come back with terms from King Aegon II, Daemon's like, oh, you can have your answer now. Let's go ahead and do this. Like, let's go ahead and get this action going. And even from there, when in episode 10, to expand on that, when we realized Rhaenys came and told them what happened, Daemon was ready to go to war right then and there. He's like, well, shit, let's do it then. Let's fucking do this thing. And I also thought there's something to be said for this as well, is that, you know, Daemon obviously cutting off Vaemon's head, and Aemon looking impressed by it. Remember in that little section that Chase had just mentioned, talking about Aemon and raising the toast to them, when they all got a little scrum, eventually Daemon walked in front of Aemon, and Aemon did not want to deal with that at that point in time. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but obviously Daemon Targaryen gets the number one spot for me in my top five best hand-to-hand fighters. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Chase for his number one.
Great minds think alike. You know where this is going. Same thing. Number one, Daemon Targaryen. All those reasons you said, he is the man, the myth, the legend, the only one. Aemon Targaryen didn't want none of that smoke, said fuck that noise, and stepped down, man. So number one, Daemon Targaryen gets my number one spot. You want to go through your list?
Yes, sir. 5-1 on top five best hand-to-hand fighters according to me. Number five, Aemon Targaryen. Number four, Sir Harwin Strong. Number three, Sir Criston Cole. Number two, Sir Harold Westerling. And number one, Daemon Targaryen. You go ahead and go through your 5-1.
Number five, Sir Harold Westerling. Number four, Corlys Velaryon. Number three, Criston Cole. Number two, Aemon Targaryen. Number one, the man, the myth, the legend, Daemon Targaryen, the Rogue Prince.
Perfect. Now we're going to go ahead and jump into our final category of the day. The one y'all have been waiting for, our top five favorite characters. I'll let Chase start us off with his number five.
Number five, one that's not thought of a lot. Missaria, fucking badass. Siding with Daemon in the beginning. You know, she wanted the protection with Daemon, but then just seeing who she grows to be, we find out in episode 9, she is now the White Worm, and I think she's going to play a big role in this series going forward. So I gave my number 5 spot to Missaria. Who's your number 5?
Number 5 for me, Lionel Strong. He always gave the best advice, never seemed to be self-interested. He was just the guy who was consistent the entirety of his life. So that's why number 5 for me goes to Lionel Strong. Let's go to your number 4.
Number 4. This, people aren't going to like this. Alicent Hightower, baby. Alicent Hightower. Fuck yeah. I love how she grows into the character to really stand her own ground. You know, she came out with that green dress really supporting her own claim after trying to take sides with Rhaenyra and then feeling like she was almost betrayed. And then now we see to this point, you know, with the episode 9, the Green Council, she did not stand down to Otto Hightower giving in to her father. She was making her own moves to play chess. Now, whether they were the right moves, that's up for you to determine. But the fact that she's grown so much over this time, going from being just an innocent, a religious girl that probably would give in to her father to standing her own ground. Number 4, Alicent Hightower. What about you?
For me, number 4 goes to Missaria. Missaria, for me, obviously I thought that she was beautiful. She plays an important part as a White Worm and speaks for the common peasants of the area and tells Otto Hightower, don't forget who put Aegon on the throne. It was me. I could have killed him and you guys would have had a real big trouble here. And I want you guys to take a look into this fighting pit with these children. Get that shit out of here. And she's sitting there making demands of the second most powerful man in the kingdom. At that point, probably the most powerful man because King Viserys had died. And she was looking at him straight in the face, going toe-to-toe with Otto Hightower. As you know, and she was working in the streets of silk, you know? So it's amazing what, you know, how she has grown as a character and what she turns into. So for that reason, Missaria gets a number 4 spot for me. Go into your number 3.
Number 3, you're not going to like this either. I put Rhaenyra Targaryen. So, but that's mainly because I like more of the Millie Adcock Rhaenyra. I loved how in the beginning, you know, she was riding Syrax and she took things into her own responsibility to get the egg back from Daemon. And she kind of grows in this moment. I don't like how she kind of backs down from things and tries to weasel her way out of it. But she does stand her own ground and make her own alliances, and just like she was going to fulfill her duty with Laenor Velaryon, and she sticks to what she says she thinks is right. So for that, I'm giving Rhaenyra Targaryen number 3 on my list. What about you?
For me, going to number 3, Sir Eric with the E. He literally left the Greens to join the Blacks and stole the crown of Viserys and Jaehaerys and gave it and presented it to Rhaenyra on her coronation on Dragonstone. Takes a lot of balls to, you know, turn sides. On top of that, you were okay with the fact that your twin brother that you grew up with is going to stick on the Green side, and eventually you're probably going to have to meet in battle. And so really fucking cool to see Sir Eric take a stand for what he believed in. And he went ahead and went to Dragonstone, presented the stolen crown that he took from Viserys' body, and he is now on Team Black. So for that reason, number 3 for me went to Sir Eric with an E. What's your number 2?
Number 2, I want to hate this man so bad, but I can't. Aemon Targaryen doesn't give a shit about tourneys. I don't give a shit about tourneys. Dude looks like that, and the older Aemon is the one I'm talking about. Just badass looking, you know, looks like an anime character, not giving a fuck from anybody. You kind of wonder whether or not he wants the throne for himself, but even just like the whole cliche lines that are hilarious because he wants to piss everyone off. Don't my nephews want to be strong? Like, just all that shit. I just thought it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. You can definitely tell he's going to be a problem. That's for sure. So I put him as number 2 on my list. What about you, J. Nelly?
Number 2 for me, Aemon Targaryen. And so
let's go.
I obviously agree. You know, he is a polarizing character. You know he's going to be prominent and he's going to be a problem. And like we mentioned, that little clip from Troy, now you know who you are fighting. Like, he ended up taking out another dragon and his own cousin, I guess his nephew, Lucerys. Obviously, in the show, looked like an accident. But just to see what he is capable of is pretty cool. So, yeah, that on top of his little quips and tearing people down, he seems like the antithesis to Daemon. And, you know, because of that, it's going to be a cool little, you know, back and forth. But yeah, Aemon Targaryen also caught my number 2 spot. And look at the way he looks. He's got the eye patch on, like a little badass. He's like thin, almost reminds me of an elf that turned evil, you know, from like the other productions. I mean, like Lord of the Rings or something of that nature, or
like
Aragorn,
evil Legolas,
you know. So yeah, look the part of an opposing figure. And he also has the sarcastic quips and the wit behind him, very similar to Daemon. Like I said, I think he's the antithesis to Daemon Targaryen. So Aemon Targaryen gets the number 2 spot for me. What's your number 1?
We know where this is going. The Rogue Prince, Daemon Targaryen, baby. Absolutely awesome. It's like you never know what to predict with this guy. The minute you think he is turning Mr. Nice Guy, he's really playing chess with people. Also, he is a badass motherfucker on the battlefield. Cannot be fucked with. He was the only one that stood right up to Aemon, and Aemon backed down. It was awesome. Number 1, I got Daemon Targaryen. What about you?
I also got Daemon Targaryen because he walks to the beat of his own motherfucking drum. Not anyone can tell him what the fuck to do. Not even the king. King told him to get out of here and stay away. He's like, nah, I'm coming back for this wedding. I'm going to walk right down this aisle too. I ain't going to do shit about it. Like, he straight up just does whatever the hell he wants, when he wants. And he does it in a way that is like kind of endearing. It's not always super like asshole-ish, you know. Like, he has his asshole moments, don't get me wrong. But my point being is, overall, like, you're staying tuned to see what Daemon Targaryen is going to do next, right? Because he can do some really fucked up shit, like grab Rhaenyra by the throat and like yell in her face and, you know, toss her to the side. But then he can do some really cool ass shit, like stand up for the children, get in front of Aemon, like, what you going to do, boy? You ain't going to do shit. That's what you're not going to do. And then, you know, obviously he's willing to go kamikaze style against the entire triarchy on the Stepstones by himself. Doesn't care about that. He, you know, kills the Crabfeeder 101. He kills Vaman takes his head off in the courtroom in front of anyone without anyone telling him he's allowed to do that. Took it upon himself. He's not the king's justice. He ended up doing it anyways. He's like, fuck it. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll deal with the consequences later. He's an act first, ask questions later kind of guy, and I love that shit. So, for me, and those reasons, Daemon Targaryen took number one, and I'm going to go through my 5-1 list in its entirety. For me, number 5 of my top 5 favorite characters went to Lionel Strong. Number 4, Missaria. Number 3, Sir Eric with an E. Number 2, Aemon Targaryen. Number 1, Daemon Targaryen. Go ahead and go through your list 5-1.
Number 5, I got Missaria. Number 4, Alicent Hightower. Number 5, Rhaenyra Targaryen. Number 2, Aemon Targaryen. Number 1, Daemon Targaryen. Let's fucking go, baby.
Hell yeah. And those are the rankings that we are covering today. That was all of our rankings between, you know, we went through our rank list of episodes, went through our top 5 favorite moments, went through our top 5 favorite dragons, top 5 best hand-to-hand fighters, and top 5 favorite characters. And, you know, this is the way that Chase and I view Westeros and what we see in the House of Dragon. This is what each of us value. You guys get to take a little bit of a look inside of our minds and what we think is important. So, love bringing these kind of episodes to you. Now, before we close out for the day, I do want to ask you in terms of what you think we're going to see next season, what next season is going to focus on, and what you think we can expect to come here.
Next season, I think we're first going to start out, honestly, with Jace going over to Winterfell, and I think it's going to be more about starting out with Kraegon Stark. I think we're going to start learning a little bit about him and more of the Starks. So I'm really excited to get into Winterfell. Also, I do think Missaria is going to play a large role. I think we're going to start seeing more of everything that's going on with Larry Strong and Alicent and how Otto kind of has his hands in things in the city. I think that's going to play a large role, and I think this is where Team Black starts making some very brutal moves, and we kind of started to see at the end of the show, Daemon gives no fucks now. All hands are on deck, and I think Rhaenyra is going to start making some decisions. So, like we always say, you know, this is about two people that really, there is no chance of negotiating at this point, in my opinion. I think it's two sides that are all out war now, and this is going to start. I think the death of Lucerys was the first strike in the war, and I think this is where we start kicking things off as next season. What about you?
For me, I believe the earlier parts of next season is going to cover each side gaining houses to each of their allegiance. I think, you know, the Blacks are going to go on, and they're, you know, like you mentioned, Jacaerys, we'll see him at Winterfell, see what we can do with the Starks there. We're going to see Daemon travel to the places he's going to try to gain allegiance from, see what he can do on his end. I think it's going to be a lot more of the plans and the setup more so than the actual war where we're just all out dragons in the sky attacking, you know, like full out blown combat. You know, I think that it's going to lead up to that. I do think another prominent character of season two, maybe they are not prominent right now, but I think, you know, as season two goes on, there's going to be new prominent characters brought into the fold. And I think that maybe we'll lose another prominent character in season two. I think that's going to be interesting to see who and how and what that affects everyone else as. So, and then on top of that, I do believe we're going to see, you know, obviously at this point, you had just mentioned this, there's no chance of reconciliation. It is full-blown war right now. I think it's going to be more about the setup and bringing armies from other places to join one side or the other side. I don't think we're going to have a full-on assault of King's Landing. I don't think we're going to have a full-on assault of Dragonstone. I think it's going to be really the setup. And, you know, I think maybe season three of House of the Dragon is where shit's going to really hit the fan. That's what I really believe. But I think season two is going to be a lot of building the armies, seeing the plots of different people, making their presence known, You'd mentioned Masario, Laris, Otto, Allison, Rhaenyra, Daemon, Corlys, Rhaenys. We're going to have all these people, and I think even other characters are going to come into play that aren't introduced yet, and I think they're going to play a key role. And I do think we're going to lose at least one prominent character throughout season two, probably closer to the end, making it as dramatic and unexpected as if you haven't read Fire and Blood through those passages as Lucerys Velaryon's death was of season one. So that's what I think is on deck for season two, man. Did you have anything else that you wanted to mention before we close out for the day and honestly for the season two of Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy?
Yeah, and just to kind of clear up my thoughts here, I agree with you 100%. I think it's going to be a lot of chess pieces on the board. To what I was saying, I just think there's going to be no negotiations at all anymore. There is no thinking. There is no back and forth. This is Rhaenyra, I think, is she's going to be all in on Daemon's plan. Alicent's going to be all in on her own. I could even see next season being something like we get a surprise, something like how we had the Red Wedding. Like, I could see it getting very dark at some point, which would be awesome to see. But yeah, just want to say what a hell of a ride season two has been, man. Once again, you know, Factor Fantasy just reaching heights we never thought it would even reach when we first started this thing, going back into over two years ago now, and it's been amazing, just the ride and the support we get from all you guys out there. It really does mean a lot, and it's been one hell of a journey, even from the beginning. So I just wanted to thank everyone out there for their support. It really means a lot. Jay Nelly revealed it last week. I was going to wait, but he revealed it last week. Season three, we are coming back, baby. So we will be back for season three. You get some time of a break for us, but definitely tune into social media because I know you guys like interesting facts and stuff. So we'll put some stuff out there, put some clips from our old debates, getting your take on that. So that's where you can really keep engaging with Jay Nelly and I, and even just send us an email, or we see all your messages that come through in the comments section and side messages. So that really does mean a lot. But yeah, overall, it's been an amazing season. I mean, we thought, you know, I was thinking, you know, Harry Potter, you know, like that was like the ride, and then it just kept going up from there. You know, it just never ends, and it's excellent to have this journey, and we're just enjoying the ride, and we're going to be here next season for another journey with you guys. And I'll turn it over to Jay Nelly.
Yeah, that was really well said. To me, we're going on our third year of doing this podcast, and I don't think either of us really knew what this was going to bring, and to becoming one of the most prominent parts of my life doing this podcast. I'm sure Chase feels the same way. It's very interesting and amazing how this has grown and how, you know, we've come along this way and all the stuff that we covered and how these stories have really touched us to a point where we want to share our thoughts with other people as well. And, you know, it seems to have, you know, taken a hold better than we could have ever have hoped or imagined. And I don't know about Chase, but to me, it doesn't even feel like we've been doing this for 3 years. Maybe it feels like to me that maybe it's been 6 months. It's just, you know, as grueling as the process can be sometimes, and how often it's like, man, that was just a beast to get through. The end product and the result and what we bring and share always makes it worth it, and it makes it really enjoyable and doesn't make it seem as if it's been such a long and grueling process and it's been, you know, however many years. To me, even with all that being said, it still only feels like a short amount of time. And we're not going anywhere, guys. You know, we're sticking with this thing all the way through. We're going to take a couple months off like we did last year between season one and season two of Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. So you'll be catching us probably sometime around early March for season three of Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. So stay tuned. And as Chase had mentioned, he's great with the social media side of stuff. He's going to be putting stuff up there, keeping engagement with everyone. So don't hesitate to stay updated with all of those pages. And, you know, I guess any final words before I sign us off for the day?
One thing I really loved about this season is we've finally been able to catch up, you know, to the point where we're doing present day stuff like House of the Dragon. Like, you know, we always give people time to watch the show because we want to make sure people are able to watch it on their own schedule and not having to rush. But, you know, this is something that really just came out and we finally caught up. You know, we've done the big fantasy franchises here. We did Lord of the Rings this year. We did original Game of Thrones and Harry Potter last year, you know, and we did The Witcher this year. Like, we're doing current things now, so it's great. So it's kind of like, now of course we'll wind up doing some classic stuff later on, like, you know, hint, you know, Disney's developing an Aragon series so interesting when that comes out. But I love the fact that we're now in present time and being able to do things, the hottest topics on the moment, and it's great. And just once again, guys, it really means everything. And just like Jay Nelly was saying, this really has become a big, prominent part of Jay Nelly and I's life. And we were best friends before this, but just seeing this grow with you guys, it's something that has manifested into a big part of us. And it's great too, just even seeing from us how the fantasy genre, it's interesting, we hit this whole thing at the perfect timing because fantasy genre just keeps growing and growing and growing. And when Jay Nelly and I first started, we were really, really one of the few even out there in this genre, and so it's great to be able to take it to the level it has been. And so once again, just thank you guys, and I'll let Jay Nelly close us out for the day.
Awesome, guys. So I know that this is it for now, but we will be back here before you know it. If this is your first time listening to us, we really hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you've been with us since day one, thank you for being the shields that guard the realms of fantasy. In terms of the social media that we were talking about on where you can find us and keep engaged during this break, we are on Instagram at Official Ridiculous Patronus. We're on TikTok at Ridiculous Patronus. We have a backup Instagram at @fact_or_fantasy. Backup TikTok at @fact_or_fantasy. We are on Facebook, Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. YouTube, Ridiculous Patronus. We are on Snapchat, RP Factor Fantasy. We're on Twitter, RP Factor Fantasy. And we do have our own website as well, ridiculouspatronus.blogspot.com. So go ahead, follow along, click like, subscribe, stay engaged with those socials, and really keep up to date with what we've got going on. In terms of the podcast side of stuff, if you're an Apple user, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. If you're an Android user, we're on Google Play. We're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Audible. We're on our host site, Podbean. We're on Stitcher. We're on Acast. Wherever you get your podcast, Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy are there. So please go ahead and leave those written reviews on Apple Podcasts. Please go ahead and leave star ratings on Spotify. The engagement and the feedback is everything to us. So thank you so much for those who have done it, and thank you so much in the future for those who will do it. And, you know, it's been a great, great, great thing bringing this to you guys here today and throughout this season. But, you know, this is it for the day, and this is it for season 2 of Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. So one last time for season 2, Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. This has been a ridiculous production.
Chase and Josh
Factor Fantasy. Signing off.